All right, so parking lot. I was just informed that the dirt is supposed to be on the parking lot, so it's supposed to be there.
Sand.
Yeah.
Tires don't dig in until it cures.
Okay, because. So we want to be careful, turn it extra sharp. We don't want to do donuts in the parking lot. Right?
Okay.
No donuts in the parking lot, brothers and sisters. Save that for another time. Another time. I know you're excited. What a praise, what a blessing. The sand's supposed to be there, so if you're thinking to yourself, that's asphalt, but it sure is dirty. It's supposed to be there, so okay. And they're supposed to stripe on Monday. Monday and Tuesday, or how do we?
They carry over into Monday. They've got to put up all the handicap
signs. Okay. So is it best we kind of stay back for now until Wednesday? That would probably be the thoughtful thing to do. I remember being in the trade. There was nothing worse than the homeowner hanging right over your shoulder and wanting to help you do your job with you. I got pretty good at just saying, hey, you want to hand me that 90? And what is that? That one right there. And I'd put them to work. And it was an opportunity to start up conversation. So we're really thankful for that, praising the Lord for that. Is there anything else we need to know, Mr. Bob? Okay. Well, praise the Lord. Praise God. That's a blessing. Pastor Gary, do you want to say anything?
I was glad there's a report from Peter and Laura.
Yeah, I was wondering the same thing, so I'm glad you asked. And
anything special?
We were just in Seattle with our children.
They were just in there. They were out with the kids.
I was thinking you were going up to North Carolina.
No, that's next
May.
Month. That's May.
Oh, I got you.
See, I kind of didn't know, so I was like, I'm not going to put him on the spot just yet, but I'll let you do it. No. Because when you came in, I was like, did they go out again with Samaritan's Purse? You know, so that's next month.
Yeah, May 14th, we leave and come back the 20th or something.
Well, let okay. You know, and then y'all can pray over us.
Amen. Amen, sister. Amen.
Are they going to be helping up in Kentucky? Because they've been having a lot of...
There's a lot of requests for a lot of areas, from California to the tornadoes to, even still Maui with the fires there. So, there's a big...
There's a lot of neat
requests. Yeah.
It's kind of neat that California would ask. Maui, too.
Yeah, Connie and I were thinking about going to help.
Actually, that was in our plans with our change.
I'm pretty sure you'd be preaching and she would be ministering. Amen. But she'd be ministering to the women. I can guarantee it. So, but I was thinking about those places too. Different places have been hit pretty hard here recently as well. Kentucky and things like that.
Missouri.
The tornadoes, right?
Yeah.
Tornadoes, yeah. So different.
A lot of flooding too.
That's what I was thinking too. A lot of flooding as well. So different carnage at different times. You know, it's just an opportunity. You know, we believe. Oh, Robert Fair's son. I think we sent out the prayer chain, right?
Yes.
So I talked to Robert this morning. He said it's the kindness of God that's protected his son. So the road washed out from underneath of him, country road, I'm guessing, in Alabama. And he was going through, and the truck just bottomed out. So the back of the truck was up in the air. His son went through the windshield. Was it Monday he called? Monday. It was Monday. And so he was in ICU with a brain bleed, and they weren't quite sure what was going to happen just yet. Robert took off up there. And so we had a time of prayer with him before he went. And Robert and I have been praying for his son for a while now, as far as coming to the Lord. And God's been doing different things in Chris's life to, we believe, appointing as far as drawing Chris to himself. And even with this, we believe this is God appointing this time for Chris to continue to hear the gospel and for Robert to continue to have the chance to till the field of Chris's heart as much as we can with the help of the Lord. And so Robert said he's it's hard for his son at this time to see the good, but Robert keeps pointing him back to there's so many things here that are good that I can tell you right now that is the kindness of God. And so he's just walking him through them, walking him through them. And so he's very appreciative of the prayers. He checked in this morning. He said that Chris is doing much better, and they're at a point where they may even let him out, whether today, tomorrow. I don't know if they're going to let him out today, but maybe tomorrow, possibly moving in that direction. So that he went through the windshield, that the truck went down as fast as it did, as hard as it did, is the grace of God that he's even still alive. And so, and Robert told him, it's the grace of God, son, that you're even able to still move, that you're not damaged, you know. It's God's grace in your life. And so we know that Chris is hearing the right things, you know, and we know that God is gracious and kind and knows exactly when and how to rescue that soul. And so our job is to keep pointing them to the Lord, and it's God's job to rescue. But very thankful Robert's getting that opportunity, and he keeps pointing them to the Lord. So very thankful for that. We understand the book of Luke, or in the Gospels, that he's going to leave the 99, he's going to go get the one. And he gives us scripture like that to comfort us as parents and believers that has unbelieving family, that has unbelieving family. So we're confident in the character who our God is to rescue and save. And so we're very thankful for that. But just want to give you guys an update on Robert and Chris at this time. I heard us saying something was going on with Joyce, but I still don't know what happened with Cooper and Joyce. What was going on with Joyce?
Have you heard anymore?
Yeah.
Joyce fell again.
Okay. Okay. Where is she now?
She's at home. She's
okay.
She's pretty good.
Okay. Okay, good. Well, I thank the Lord for that. So, and you mentioned something about Jerry James has a surgery or something. He was here Sunday.
Oh, he was here Sunday.
Okay, but he's doing okay.
Yeah.
Don't hug him.
Yeah,
I slapped him in the arm when he walked by. But he slapped me, though. I was just camaradering back.
Some may, you cannot.
He walked by, and so I just gave it back, you know. It's called brotherly love. Ronnie told me you pushed him in the back coming out of men's prayer. Sally Miller.
She appreciated prayers, but her son is taking her thing, and then she said she would keep several of us posted, you know, with the chemo. She's not really feeling open to the visitors so much, but she really appreciates the prayers, I think appreciates all the check-ins. I think she could use the encouragement, though she may not say.
Right.
She definitely could use the encouragement.
Okay. So you just let us know. Don't inundate her with calls?
Oh, no, I'm not. I think do as the Lord leads you.
Okay.
I'm just saying that when I spoke, we were going to go visit her, and then she says, was kind of tired. And she said her son was coming tomorrow to take her, and she'd keep us posted. And I know Carol's talking to her a lot, too.
You know, I've been real encouraged with Sally's son caring for her. Mm-hmm. I've been really thankful to hear that. I've been thankful for that. And then, of course, Hetty's daughter has been involved. And then we found out Hetty's daughter is actually going to a church. And so we were thankful. I was thankful to hear that. And so I know she had visited one time before. So I'm glad to hear that. And glad to see these children ministering to their parents. Timothy tells us, you know, desire to make some return. It's an honorable thing to do. It's a pleasing to God thing to do. Very thankful to see these things. So now, Kim, Sunday when I was up here and I sat back down, I just felt like the Lord tugging on my heart that I should have called you up. We understand, I'm not sure if everybody knows, but we know there was a loss with your great nephew. Right.
Very. And my sister tried to use that opportunity up there, and she pretty much shut down.
Mm-hmm.
She's 14.
This was your sister's grandson?
Yes.
Okay. And so I remember you and I were talking as well, and you said that that they had reached out to Sonny and Megan because we know what the loss of Xander. And I remember when a lot of that was happening, you know, and those of us who know the Lord, you know, we know him well. And I'm not, our desire is to know him well. We know his character. We don't always get to choose the ministry, but God does. And sometimes in the middle of that hurt and pain, we don't understand what God is doing. We don't understand why. But I do remember talking with Sonny Jr. And you and I would talk, and Sonny as well. And we said, God's creating a ministry here for them. We may not always choose it, but God knows why he created us, and he knows how he wants to use us. So that they reached out to Sonny and Megan, I was thankful to hear that. And they know how that feels to lose someone like that. So we can see God doing good.
Grace,
yeah.
My little lady next door that I've been witnessing to, she professes to be a believer, but she's 81. She doesn't get around very good. She's been going to the base chapel, but they have...
they're very universal.
Lay speakers. Okay. Something like that. But anyway, she doesn't like that. And I've tried to get her to come with me, but we're gone too long, and she said it just wears her out.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to come to the tea with me.
Oh, wow.
I'm very, very excited that she's going to come to the Mother's Day tea with me.
Yeah.
So just be praying for her that she stays well, that she can come.
You're making knowledge acceptable.
It's
drawing her.
I want the other lady across the street to come too, but I haven't got her to commit to it yet.
We just till.
Yeah.
It's up to God when he calls us to grow. We're spreading the knowledge. We're casting the seed out. But God's got to call us to growth.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. What an opportunity. It's a good opportunity. So, and the women's tea is coming. Is it the women's tea now? What is it? Women's brunch, right?
It's brunch.
Brunch.
Oh, sorry.
So that's coming up too. It used to be the women's tea, but I got you. It's the right. It's the women's brunch. That's right. So, any other prayer requests before we get started? Gonna open us up in prayer. All these different ones. Yes, buddy. Physically.
Yeah. Yeah, he had cancer in the started out in his muscles and spread out from there into his neck, his adenoids and lymph nodes.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had to cut all that out.
Okay. Do we know if he's a believer?
He won't come clear on that.
Okay. Well, do you have, is he here in town? You have opportunity to see him?
Pardon?
Do you have opportunity to see him? Is he here in town?
Yeah, but he's not wanting to see anybody right now.
Okay.
But I've been texting him and said, well, are you ready for somebody to come over and visit? No, you give him a call.
Yes.
Or text, because he can't talk that well.
Yes, sir. Well, that's the thing is Isaiah 59. The Lord's hand is not too short to save. Where we may be limited, God is not. But we definitely know how to be praying. So let's open up in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you, There's so much, Lord, to lift up to you. And so we think about Miss Joyce that has fallen. We think about, Lord, different surgeries, different things that are going on with some of our older members, Lord. Lord, we know that you know all things. And we know that you've placed us in the time that we live. And so, Lord, we know that you're not limited with all the different options and opportunities, Lord, that we have as man. And so, Father, with this time that we're in, may it be a time, Lord, for believers to put their trust in you. Also, that as we're going, we will look for opportunities to share the gospel. I do pray for my brothers and sisters that are going through different things, that you would strengthen them in the inner man. You tell us that outer man is decaying, and that, Father, we would be strengthened in you, walking by faith, ministering and sharing the gospel as you see fit. Just praying your grace and your comfort for the different ones of us that are going through different things. We lift up Buddy's friend to you at this time, Lord. Our desire is that this man would come to know you. That's our prayer, Lord. And we know that you're more than capable of doing that. And so, Father, we lift him up to you at this time, and praying this on not only the behalf of him, but his whole family, Lord. We pray for the different ones in our country that are going through hardship, Lord, devastation, destruction. Lord, we know that this is the place where man is at his lowest, where he has hit rock bottom, that, Lord, you show up and you begin to make yourself known. And so our prayer is, Lord, that through this time that many people will come to know you. We don't want to be hard towards the devastation that they're in, Lord, not at all, but to understand and to relate that, Lord, may this be a time that man would cry out to you, not unlike Exodus, Lord, where your people begin to cry out to you, and, Lord, you rescued them. And so that's our prayer. Like I said, not to be cold to the physical things that they're going through, but, Lord, we know that through the difficulties, it brings man to that place where he has nowhere else to turn so that he cries and calls out on you. We want to thank you, Lord, for the parking lot. We want to thank you, Lord, for different ones, Lord, and that you've put into their heart to just minister and to serve and to lead in this area. We continue to pray for those workers, Lord, that they would know you. Praying for opportunities to minister to them and share the gospel with them and to see them come to know the Lord. I would like to see at least one of these workers, Lord, receive you as Lord and Savior, to share the plan of salvation, if it's your will. I'd like to see more than one willingly, but Lord, even if it's just one, I'd like to see it. And Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for all the good you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So we'll open up in Proverbs 15. I do want to make a quick point in 14. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands. He who walks in uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is devious in his way despises him. I did want to make a point last week. If I had any young ladies in here, I don't know if I do. I don't think I see any, that are thinking about marriage. If I could strongly encourage you, you want to look for a man that's walking in uprightness. Young men, if you're looking in the realm, if I know young men, they usually are, and young women usually are at some point in their lives. You want to look for one with her desire is to look for a man in uprightness. So if in fact you're looking to build, it's going to start with those that are desiring to do what is right in the Lord's eyes. So I would encourage you in that, young men or young ladies. Also, if in fact, if you look at me at the end of chapter 14 and verse 35, the king's favor is toward a servant who acts wisely, but his anger is toward him who acts shamefully. Think of as if the king is God. And if in fact we want to be builders in the kingdom of God, we're going to have the heart of a servant. So if you'll turn with me to Matthew and give you... I butchered this one up last time, but it's Matthew 24, verses 45 through 51. This was the verses I was trying to clarify last week, but I began to kind of stumble over my words. But it's Matthew 24, verses 45 through 51. Who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. If in fact a man is wanting to do what's right in the Lord's eyes, then he realizes as a servant, we've been entrusted with something that God has given, especially for a Christian. And a servant, it has a definition or a meaning that it is someone who now lives their life to do what someone else wishes. So, for instance, as a Christian, we no longer live our life to do what we wish. We now live our life to do as our Father wishes. And that is to say, to build the kingdom of God, to be a part of reaching believers, reaching the lost, a desire to share the gospel, a desire to build up the body of Christ. Our desire is to build. If, in fact, you want your household to flourish, you're going to have a mindset and a heart that's towards, I'm here to serve. Who am I here to serve but God? He's the one I'm here to serve. That mindset and that heart will cause that house to flourish, and God will use that mustard seed of that tree and cause it to grow up. And that tree will be the biggest tree in the garden. And there will be all kinds of wildlife, the different birds and animals that will find shade underneath that tree. If, in fact, that's the heart that a Christian will have, God will cause that family, that household, the influence that you have to grow, and he'll cause it to flourish. So we're going to finish out this verse. Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that evil slave says in his heart, my master is not coming for a long time, and begins to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink with drunkards, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour which he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, that it wasn't real. So I wanted to take this text. It's one of the texts, if you want to turn me back to Proverbs, that I wanted to tie. A servant that acts wisely realizes, I've been given a responsibility, and I no longer live my life for myself. I live my life to take care of the responsibilities of another's, what he wishes. And that's the best way to put it as far as the definition or the meaning of that word servant. One who acts wisely. I realize as a Christian, I've been called out of the world. I've been now grafted in to the family of God as a son. And as a Christian, we now have a responsibility. We don't want to turn away from that. But it's very clear the king's favor. And I want God's favor. And as a Christian, we should all want God's favor upon us. Who will have his favor upon them but to the servant that acts wisely? He understands what his job and his responsibility is, and great rewards that would be. But his anger is towards him who acts shamefully. A servant that would act shamefully, if we were to go back to that Matthew 24, we would see a very good picture of a servant that would act shamefully. And it's a great warning for all of us not to let down our guards and, oh, he's not coming for a long time, so therefore I can let loose on that calling that God the Father has given to the church or to the Christian. But instead, to realize, no, until that day comes, I want to be found faithful doing what he's asked us to do as a Christian, as the church. So wanted to make that point in Proverbs 14 as we move on now to 15. So what I have here in Proverbs 15 is, who is the wise communicator? And we're learning skill here. And so towards the end, if we have time, I'm going to bring out Psalms 19:14 as a proof text. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord, my God. And it talks about a refuge there too. But Proverbs 15, if we start there, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So right off the bat, the very first verse, as it's giving us a thrust and a direction that we want to go, is we realize that word gentle would be soft or mild. The word answer is going to be reply. And I'm talking about some of these words off the bat because it kind of gives us a picture. So a gentle answer turns away wrath. Wrath would be heat, anger, displeasure, rage. So there's going to be times where people are going to come at you with great wrath, with great anger, situations that are going to happen in your life. And if I can encourage you as parents, for those of you who have young children, teenage kids, and maybe even older ones. What was that? Somebody said something? Okay. There's going to be times, if I can put it to you this way, I keep spitting, and I'm sorry. Man, that is terrible, brother. Yay. Okay, so the best way I like to look at this, if I was to give us a picture, think about you're defusing a bomb. There's another way I'd like to put it, too. As a Christian, I'm going to level with you. You got to be able to take a punch. There's no other way I can put it to you. You're going to have to be able to take a punch. Because people in this world are going to be hurting, they're going to be angry, they're going to be disappointed, they're going to be lost, and anger is going to be coming at you at different times. You've got to be able to take, there's been many times where a barrage of anger will come at me as a Christian, as a believer, as a pastor, and someone is angry, and they are hurt, and they are infuriated, and they're just going to unleash it on you. You got to take every one of those punches. And you got to wait till they finally get tired and their arms drop. And at that point, you want to interject something that will help them come to know the Lord. That's our job. So you're going to have to take all the abuse that they have felt and all the anger that they have found. And you're going to have to take that barrage upon yourself, not unlike Christ. You're taking that upon yourself to open the door to reach that lost person. And so they're going to come with anger. They're going to come at wrath at different times in your life. If I can paint the picture of it this way, it's a bomb. And if I could tell you this, you got to cut the red wire. It's the red wire. The blue? No. The yellow? No. It's going to speed it up. Cut the red wire. You're defusing a bomb. And that takes skill. And we've been called as children of God. This book is written to a young prince. And this young prince, he goes, okay, son, you're going to have to be able to handle yourself in such a way with skill. If, in fact, you want to be useful in this kingdom, if, in fact, you want to be a representative of this kingdom, you have to live differently. The natural tendency of man, when anger comes at him, and here in this country, and I probably would probably guess to believe this, it's just man's natural human nature. I was taught growing up, when you were punched, you better punch back. If you got hit, you better hit them back, son. I literally would get in trouble by my stepdad, my sister's father, a mean man. Lord willing, he'll come to know the Lord someday. That's my hope. But he was a mean man, a very violent, vicious man, in and out of prison, abused my mother. If I would come home after being beat up, then I would get a spanking. This is how this man would operate. He was a mean man, very vicious. So even in our country, the way that we were taught, I would probably, by especially unbelievers, I would hope not by Christian parents, but I would not doubt that even with Christian parents, that natural fleshly nature would still shine through at different times. But the way that Christ would let us know is if they strike you on one side, you turn to them the other also. You pray for those. Pray for those who persecute you. Yeah, you love your enemies. You pray for those who persecute you. This is a different kind of kingdom. This is a different kind of standard that we live in for the kingdom of God. What's the point of that? Because we are looking to reach them for the gospel is what we're looking to do. We're looking to reach them for the Lord. We're looking to hopefully open a door to interject the knowledge of God in their life. So the gentle answer turns away wrath. It causes wrath to draw back. For instance, you could return, if you'll turn me to 1 Peter, I believe it's, chapter 3. And if you look at me in chapter 3, verse 9, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, for you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. So he's letting us know, Romans would tie into some of the same things as well. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Never take back your vengeance in your own hands. Never seek revenge. The reason why is because we're going further. We've been called not to walk in the natural man. We've been called to walk into the Spirit. We've been called for a different purpose. So you can turn me back. Actually, turn me to James chapter 1. And that'll be verse 20. It says this, James chapter 1, verse 20. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Doesn't achieve it. It doesn't accomplish it. The anger of man. The anger of man is going to make us come up short. We're going to go back to Proverbs. A gentle answer turns away wrath. Gentle or soft reply turns away wrath. But a harsh word stirs up anger. So if somebody comes at you with aggressiveness and rage and anger, and we respond, all we're going to do is cause the temperature of that situation to go up. So that word harsh would be the word, are you ready? Painful, hurtful. It would kind of be the word hurtful. It would also be, yes, the word painful. The word harsh is that I'm very painful with my words. A wicked man has words, a tongue like a knife. And I think I shared with you guys last week, possibly, I was raised in a family that was very sharp-tongued. And I could literally just like a Ginzu knife and be very hurtful with my words. And how ashamed I am of that person. And if, in fact, I am not careful, I can go down that same road again. James 3 would say, this tongue can set on fire a whole forest. It can cause so much damage. James 3 would also say, with the same mouth, with the same tongue, we use it to bless God, but curse man. He says, it ought not to be this way, brothers. We've been called to a different kingdom. We've been called to represent more as a prince, as sons and daughters of God that have different set of rules and responsibilities. We have a different set of rules and responsibilities than the rest of the world. Go ahead and understand that. As a Christian, you've been called to live a different life. We have been called to live by the different set of rules, but guess what? We want to. Because when we do it, we actually please Christ. When we do it, God uses it to bear fruit for the kingdom, fruit that lasts. We realize we're a part of something greater, and we realize that we're a part of bringing those to the Lord and pleasing Him. What a blessing. A harsh word stirs up anger. It causes more. The word wrath is actually heat, anger, rage, upsetness. So when someone comes at us with anger, the last thing you want to do is return it. And I can tell you this. As I understand, we all stumble, we all fall in many ways, but guess what, brothers and sisters, today's a new day. We have an opportunity to say, okay, Lord, I hear you loud and clear. I want to please you. I want to be successful in the kingdom. I want to make a difference in the kingdom. Lord, help me get this old tongue under control. I'm tired of letting this old tongue just run the show. I don't want it happening anymore. I want to have control over this tongue. I want to have control over my spirit. Because that's where it really all starts, is the heart. And when that heart is right with God, and then you realize, okay, wait a minute, the knowledge of God has been given to heal. The knowledge of God has been given to rescue. If I truly understand that, then I will handle this word of God in such a delicate way to make sure it's presented in the right way with the right spirit. So, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Verse 2, the tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable. It has a meaning to make well. As far as that goes, or good, that which is beneficial, that which is helpful. So the tongue would tie into the way we would pronounce. And even in our language today, The tongue will help us pronounce certain things certain way. I have a good testimony for this. I would say some years back, still very passionate and had a lot to grow, and could begin to preach with a lot of anger still preach with anger. And I had a sister come up to me one time and lovingly encourage me. It's the voice they hear. My sheep hear my voice and they come. And that's true. My sheep hear my voice and they come. What tone are we using? How are we using it? Are we trying to reach those that God bring into our path? I also, Dr. Gordon was sharing with Pastor Gary, and Pastor Gary had shared it with me too, that Dr. Gordon used to talk about pastors that would preach angry. Do you remember that, Pastor Gary? That he would talk about those kind of things? And it could be hurtful at times. Do you remember any of that? Or do you want to share on that at all?
Well, anytime, you know, somebody gets on a bent, and before long they just keep pounding on that, you realize it's not the message of God's love.
Right. And
that's
so
what changes. It's good news. It's actually good news.
And that's what this proverb is going to tell us. It's good news that makes the bones fat. That's actually what it'll say. So I like to say, well, I just got a whole lot of good news in my life, you know, so don't be jealous, you know, don't be jealous. God's good to me. And so the tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable. So it would say to make well, sound, beautiful, right. And if I could put it to you this way, so I did look up the word acceptable in the Merriam-Webster just to kind of see what it said, because I want to try to grasp it. And sometimes I also printed out the KJV on Blue Letter Bible. There's certain proverbs, and I think proverbs itself sometimes in the KJV kind of helps me understand it better, the way it's worded and the order that it's put in. So a part of it would say in verse 2, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. And I really liked the way that was put, but the mouth of the fools poureth out foolishness. So if in fact I'm wise, so I put here, who is the wise communicator? If in fact I am wise, and I want to be wise, and I want to be skilled and useful in the kingdom of God, if in fact I am wise, I'm going to take that knowledge of God and knowledge, and you look at the word knowledge, and it would talk about in certain contexts, it would say in the highest sense of knowledge, the knowledge of God. And when you think about it, it is the knowledge of God that is the highest sense of knowledge. It is actually the knowledge of God, i.e. His Son, will complete that, that will change a heart, that will purify a mind, that will bring favor in someone's life, that will teach them love and honor and care and dignity and integrity. Go down the list. It is the knowledge of God that will change a person's life. Make no doubt about it. That is the highest sense of knowledge. It is actually that would give man great skill in the kingdom of God. So the tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable. But let me find it here for a second. As I looked it up in the Merriam-Webster, and just so you know, when Merriam-Webster was written all those years ago, I do believe we did a study with the boys on Merriam-Webster, and I believe they were both believers. If I remember correctly, they were both believers in writing the dictionary. So I praise God for that too. But the word acceptable in the Merriam-Webster, I really appreciated the way they put it. It was worthy of being accepted. And so that helped my mind understand, when I'm dealing with the knowledge of God, do I see it as valuable of the highest degree? And if I do, then the way I'm going to think through how to present this in such a way that my desire is to try to reach the very one that God has brought into my path. You know, am I just going to spout out, and am I just going to treat the word of God that is holy very foolishly? Or am I going to see it as valuable, and am I going to see it as that which can save a life? So the natural tendency of man, when wrath is brought towards him, the natural tendency is to respond with anger. But the wise man is going to give a gentle answer for the purpose of making knowledge acceptable. And that's what our desire is to do. But the mouth of fools just spouts folly. So the fool would tie into the one that would be arrogant. Folly would be that which is corrupted, distorted, perverted. So the fool is not going to think this way. So if, in fact, I'm returning anger for anger, and I'm not seeing this as an opportunity to try to minister, to try to reach someone, then I'm going to be in the same camp with the fool. If, in fact, my anger gets the better of me, then I'm going to be in the same camp with the fool, and I don't want to do that. Verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. So as I begin to think upon this, one of the things I think of is, okay, he's watching. The word watching there would be to lean forward, to peer into the distance, to observe, and to await. Who's going to be the wise communicator? Who's going to be the one that's going to handle this word of God that was given to introduce man to who God is? Who's going to be that wise communicator that realizes this word of God has a purpose and it needs to be handled with that mindset? This word of God has the purpose to rescue. This word of God has the purpose to heal. This word of God has the purpose to restore them to God. A lot of people are going to be hurting in this world, and they're going to be coming at you hurt and angry. So just by way of reminder, you got to take a punch. You got to be able to take all that heat that's coming at you, listen to it, work your way through it, and try to reach them, to whoever God brings into your path. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. He's watching the evil and the good. So he's waiting to see who's going to use the word of God in the way that it's been intended to use. Verse 4, a soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit. So here it is again. He's taking us right back up to that verse 1 and that verse 2, the soothing tongue. That is a tongue that's curative or healing. So is my desire to have the words that I use to be healing? You know, is my desire to fight back or to get offended and become aggressive and argue? Or is my desire to bring healing in someone's life? Is that my desire? Is that our desire as Christians? A soothing tongue, what will it be? It'll be that which, the word life will be that which will bring well-being and happiness in the King's presence. So the word of God will begin to bring the favor of God into people's lives if they'll receive it. And it will begin to bring earthly happiness and spiritual blessedness. This is a part of what the word means there. But a tree means it's going to be that which bears that fruit. It's going to be that which is continual. It's going to bear its fruit in its season. It's going to bear life. It's going to bear the happiness and bring God's favor into someone's life. A soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit. The word perversion will kind of go back into twisted or distorted. So if in fact it's not being done with the desire to bring healing, but it's being done in such a way to benefit me in some way, it can crush the spirit. And our job is to, Lord willing, introduce them to the Lord and bring life into someone's life, not crush them. So if in fact I'm not handling it in the right way, if there's selfishness involved, it's not going to be that which builds up and edifies. So a fool rejects his father's discipline, but he who regards reproof is sensible. If I can put it to you this way, a father is going to be someone in authority. Think of God the Father. If in fact I'm not going to take heed to the direction that God's given me here, then a fool rejects his father's discipline. The word fool will tie into the arrogant. So the arrogant, if I can put it this way, you're not really going to take into account that your natural tendency and my natural tendency is to return evil for evil. There's a reason why that's written. There's a reason why Romans 12 writes it. There's a reason why Hebrews 12 says, be it up to you. That's actually Romans. Be at peace with all men. There's a reason why 1 Peter 3 writes it. Don't return evil for evil. It's the natural tendency of man. God's direction is coming into our life to say, listen, I want you to be one that is healing and curative with your speech and your words in this kingdom. If you reject the direction that I'm trying to give you, then it's showing that you're arrogant. I know at times in my own life, God had given me Michelle, and I'd be talking with the kids or something, and I'd feel her hand under the table just rub on my leg. And I go, no. And you realize the kindness of God that a good helpmate says, think about it. And you realize, okay, Lord, that anger can very easily get the best of us. With our words, or we desire to bring healing into someone's life, or does that anger take over in the situation? So, he who regards reproof is sensible. You're a prudent man. If you're willing to take the direction that God has given, you can also understand there's going to be times that you're going to try to give direction, and you're going to try, but not everybody's going to take it. So you have to understand, be it up to me, be at peace with all men. But we can't make people take it. But I think a part of what I would convey tonight is, are we at least, as the believers of God, those that have been called to represent Him in His kingdom, are we at least trying to take account and think through what we're saying, how we're saying it, and when we're saying it? Are we at least, as much as it is up to us, am I just flying off the handle? Am I just throwing things out there with no thought, no care? Am I even thinking through? Such is a timely word for the building up to the edification of the moment. Or am I just spouting things out there with no care of how this is going to affect anyone? And so a part of that is a prudent man goes, okay, I recognize I have a tendency to fight evil with evil. That can't be if, in fact, I'm going to be one that desires to use the Word of God to bring healing in someone's life. And I can't get easily offended either. I've got to be able to take that anger when it comes and respond with a gentle word to try to calm down the situation so I can reach someone. So, great wealth is in the house of the righteous, so great abundance. Who are the righteous? Those that are wanting to make knowledge acceptable. And then God begins to fill our house with all kinds of wonderful things, like people, and opportunities to minister. So great wealth is in the house of the righteous. Also, just so you know, the word wealth can be abundance, but it can also tie into Isaiah 33, verse 6. He would actually use the word wealth as the wealth of salvation, the wealth of salvation that comes into someone's life. So great wealth is in the house of the righteous. Who are the righteous? Those that are trying to make knowledge acceptable, not those that are just giving in to anger, stirring up. That's another point I wanted to make. If we're not careful, our natural tendency is to stir things up, is to cause things to arouse. So that word stir up, and kind of the same point of that, will be peppered throughout this proverb. You're going to cause anger to rise, or you're going to begin to bring about a healing. And we can do that with our words. We can also do that with the life that we live. So it's not just words. It's actually the character of the Christian, too, can be open the door for the curative process to introduce people to God. So, but great wealth is in the house of the righteous. I really love that verse. Those that are desiring to make His knowledge acceptable, God's going to fill that house with all kinds of wonderful things and the abundance of salvation to different ones. And I just really appreciate that. He's going to fill it with all kinds of people to minister to. But trouble is in the income of the wicked. So the wicked are going to be the ones that are hostile to God. And that which should be a benefit, that which should be a profit, is actually going to be that which is just going to bring affliction. So even in that which should be the profit, there's going to be affliction with it. Or it can almost tie back into that word, it just stirs up. Because you're hostile and you're not wanting to do things God's way, it'll bring a lot of trouble and affliction into a family's life. Verse 7, the lips of the wise spread knowledge. If you were to go back up to verse 2, the tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable. The lips of the wise spread knowledge. That word spread would kind of tie into that which is, I have it written down here, and I don't want to look at all my notes and get lost a whole bunch. But it would be that which is kind of agricultural, the winnowing. It would be that which is winnowing. And winnowing would be looking for that fruit which is going to be beneficial. So the lips of the wise are spreading knowledge. And I liken it like this. They're looking to plant seeds. They're looking to plant seeds. They're looking to spread. They're looking to share the knowledge of God. But the hearts of fools are not so. They're more concerned with themselves. They're more concerned with their own lives. They're not looking in the realm of spreading this knowledge of God so that it would be beneficial and fruitful for those around them. So whoever God would bring into their path. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. So the sacrifice in this particular time, in this culture, they would come and they would have their sacrifices. It was something that could be done outwardly, but God knows the heart. Even though it may look outwardly like they're doing something, God says, I'm not concerned with the outward, I'm concerned with the inward. And he knows if in fact we as sons and daughters of God, in a way princes or princesses of a king, he knows which ones are thinking this way. And he knows which one would be the wise communicator that's desiring to reach those, the lost. So also, if I could turn, if you'll turn with me back, there's a proverb, Proverb 11, verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls. So do you want to have the right ethical relationships and reputation in your community? Then you're going to be thinking in the realm of, my desire is to introduce them to the Lord, because once that happens, it's the greatest healing effect in their life. But I so operate and maneuver and live my life in that way, looking for that opportunity to bring someone to the Lord. We live this way. It's our whole life as a son of God, as a prince. We represent a kingdom and a king. So the way of the wicked, at the end of verse 8, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. That word prayer can be a supplication, but also can be intercession. That is to say, the prayer of the upright is the one that wants to do what's right in God's eyes. He's coming before God, and it's more of an intimate alone time. It's not an outward thing. It's an inward thing that God sees. And that prayer would be more along the lines of, God, help me use the right words. Help me to say the right things. Give me the right words to say. Give me the right spirit. I think it's in Luke chapter 7 or Luke chapter 9. You would have James and John, and they were trying to head through Samaria, and they would not let Christ and the disciples come. And James and John told Christ, do you want us to call fire down from heaven and devour them? And Jesus tells them, you do not know what kind of spirit you are of. The Son of Man has come to save that which is lost. And we think this way. We have been called for this purpose. We desire to take the knowledge of God and make it acceptable as much as we can. It's up to God to open the heart. And that's up to God. But am I at least trying to do this? Or am I so consumed with myself and my own things that I've become harsh and no longer care about my fellow man? You know, so so the prayer there, the upright, and if I can encourage you this way, if you wanted to know for sure that you were pleasing God and God was happy with you, then highlight this second line in verse 8. My desire is to do what is right in your eyes, Lord. My desire is to handle your word of God in the right way for the purpose you've called it for. That's my desire. Give me those words to do that. Give me the spirit to do that. I can tell you now, I get a picture of God so thankful and so excited that this is my son. Out of all the world, you're the one praying that prayer. God's happy with you and I. You're making God happy. He's delighting in you. And that's a wonderful text. Verse 9, the way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. They're not concerned. about how to help or to heal. They're more concerned about themselves, how they can benefit. The way of the wicked is abomination to the Lord. It's more outward. It's not inward. He who loves one, but God loves one who pursues righteousness. What would be righteousness? I want to handle the word of God in the way that it's been intended to do, and that's to rescue. That's to restore. So who are the righteous? We're pursuing that. We're going after that. That the word of God has been called to use, like I said, to rescue, restore. It's not been called to use to take advantage of people. You know, we think of the TV televangelist. We think of some of the people that use the word of God. Paul would say we're peddling the word of God. He says we're not like some that peddle it. We're not trying to take advantage of people. We're not trying to condemn people. We are trying to rescue people. Sometimes there's going to be preaching, and sometimes that preaching may be pretty passionate, and that's how the Spirit of God is moving at that time in that preacher. But it should always come from the mindset of, I'm desiring to see souls rescued out of the clutches of sin and hell, and that's the desire. That's the goal. It's desiring to use. I remember early on being really passionate and very aggressive. And I remember Pastor Gary sat up here. I think it was actually a faithful forum. And he made it very clear. He said, listen, we've been called to mend the heart, right? We're mending nets, right? And I remember going, what have I done? What? I've been so hurtful with my speech. I've been so aggressive. I'm misunderstanding who God is completely. His desire is to rescue. His desire is to bring life, not destroy it. And I was so ashamed when I heard, and it was the Holy Spirit just boom. He pricked that heart. And I said, God, I've been doing it wrong. My desire is to take the word of God to mend the broken heart. That's a skilled, wise man. It's not to beat up and to condemn. It's to reach and to bring healing into someone's life as much as we can, up to us. So the way of the wicked is abomination. Grievous punishment is for him who forsakes the way. Adversity and affliction God brings into someone's life to turn them back to him. But if you turn away from that affliction and that adversity, you're heading down the path of death. A scoffer does not love one who reproves him. He will not go to the wise. There's going to be times that they're not going to listen. You can't change that. You just keep moving forward. You're just desiring to, on your part, like I said, as much as you can. Your desire is to make it acceptable. There's going to be times where they're not going to listen. Leave them in God's hands. God knows how to rescue. A joyful heart makes a cheerful face. We can be a part of bringing those things into people's life once they receive the things of God, the knowledge of God. But when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. That is to say, you can tell the difference. You can have an opportunity to help minister to those that have gone down this road of broken spirit and mend them and bring joy into their life. The mind of the intelligent seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on folly. So the mind of the intelligent, no different than the lips of the wise and the tongue of the wise. We're looking for ways to reach. We're looking for ways. We're going to make wise use of the time that we have when God gives it to us to look for ways to reach them. We're not just going to talk about superfluous things. And that alone was kind of convicting to me. You know, when God gives an opportunity to try to reach someone, we want to try to take that time. And in mind of the intelligent, we're seeking for knowledge. We're looking for a way to reach. But sometimes it's safer to stay in the realm of surface talk because we don't quite know what to say or we don't want to offend. If I can encourage you, brothers and sisters, go after it. You know, God's called us for this purpose. Go after it. Look for a way to try to minister. Be wise, but go after it. Let's get off the surface and let's start going deeper. All the days of the afflicted are bad, but a cheerful heart has continual feast. I like this verse. Look. Days are going to be long, hot, difficult, trials, hardship. But if I'm anchored in that knowledge of God, my heart can continually feast. And people's heart can continually feast. People's heart can continually be nourished, even though there's great difficulty that comes into their life. They can be nourished if, in fact, they'll receive wholeheartedly who God is and the purpose of God. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and turmoil. What are some of the things that will interfere with causing us, that can cause, that word turmoil can tie into confusion or uproar, a lot like stirring up. If you and I begin to go after the chase of the treasure, then confusion and vexation can come in. We can begin to send the wrong message. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and turmoil with it. Better is a dish of vegetables where love is than a fattened ox served with hatred. If I can put it to you this way, sometimes we can begin to focus on the wrong things. We can so focus on the meal. Listen, Resurrection Sundays is coming. You can so focus on the meal and the production and the performance, the meal, that you find yourself being harsh and barking at everybody around you. Listen, just eat the vegetables and make sure love is there. You know, we can so focus on the meal, or in the church, we can so focus on the production or the performance that love is thrown out the window. But that does not make God happy. God said, I'd rather you have a bunch of vegetables and pretzel sticks where love is. And what message are we sending to our children and those around us? A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but slow to anger calms a dispute. That goes back to the beginning. The way of the lazy is a hedge of thorns. If we're not going to apply this in our lives, it's just going to box us in or separate with great pain. But the path of the upright is a highway. It'll be smooth and give great freedom. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. You can bring great honor and joy to your parents, to God your Father. The word mother, which I thought was unique as I looked it up, has kind of a meaning of there as a bond of a family. It's always the mom saying, we got to get everybody together. We got to get everybody together. You can begin to despise that, and that's not good either. Folly is joy to him who lacks sense, but a man of understanding walks straight. We're desiring to do what's right and please God, not rejoice in the wrong things. Without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed. A part of that word, as I look it up, would tie into that Isaiah 9, which would talk about the counselor. So what I would probably say is who are you surrounding yourself with? You know, a lot like King Rehoboam, did you listen to the wise men, or did you listen to those friends that led you the wrong way? Surround yourself with the right people that are going to encourage you the right way in those things. You start surrounding yourself with the wrong people, bad company corrupts good morals. Mm-hmm. So a man has joy in an apt answer, but how delightful is a timely word? So, you know, you can give an answer, but how cool is it to do it at the right time? So I like the way King James puts that one as well. We're running about out of time. It's about 8:20 at this point. So if I could go down, verse 29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Who are those that are going to be coming before the Lord saying, okay, God, you're going to have to change this old spirit. My natural tendency is to fight anger with anger, rage with rage, heat with heat. But Lord, you've called us to a different standard. Help me to realize that your word has a purpose. It's been sent forth to bring about healing in people's lives, to explain who you are, to explain who your son is. Help me to handle this in the right way, that I may please you and be successful in your kingdom, that I may have good influence in your kingdom, that you may put great wealth in my home. May I not be a man given to anger that closes doors for the gospel. The Lord is far from the wicked. He hears the prayer of the righteous in 29. Bright eyes gladden the heart. Good news puts fat on the bones. Be careful what you're looking at and what you're focusing on, because Matthew would say, if your eye is dark, the whole inside is dark. So be careful what you're focusing on. And good news, I believe actually a part of that there would be where we would get the word evangelism or euangelizo, if the same point. Good news, the good news of God is that which will put fat on the bones. It'll begin to bring abundance and prosper and blessing in your life. He whose ear listens to the life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. So understand, if we're going to take this direction, he says, you'll be wise, and God will use you in such a great way. And whoever would receive it, God will use. Verse 32, he who neglects discipline despises himself. At times, you may talk to a teenager, and you may say something like, do you want good or bad? I mean, just common sense. Do you want good or bad? I want good. Okay, then you want to listen to the direction that God gives, because that's where good's going to come from. But he who listens to reproof acquires understanding. It gives you the right mind with the right heart, because that word understanding would be heart. Verse 33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom, and before honor comes humility. So you and I, if in fact you're seeking this great honor, it's never going to come if you're not humble and actually care for others and actually look for ways to use the Word of God for what it was intended for, and that is to bring people to Him and to bring healing in their lives. And so great point there in Proverbs 15. And so my proof text there was Psalms 19. If we'll turn there real quick. I don't want to misquote it. Our desire is to mend the brokenhearted, not to crush them. Our desire is to rescue them out of their sin. So Psalms 19, verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, if the meditation of my heart and my eyes are focused on the right things, then my heart will be right and my words will come out right. But the heart has to be right first. You can't do it outwardly. It'll never happen. You won't be able to do it. It's not in you and me. So shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you, may the words of our mouth, Lord, may our heart, the meditation of our heart be right in your sight. And may those words, Lord, if that heart is right, then our words will be right. So Lord, our desire is to handle your word in such a way that would begin to heal and rescue out of sin as much as we can. Our desire is to be thoughtful and considerate. Our desire is to believe that your word and your son, Jesus Christ, through your spirit rescues. We understand that we can't change people, but Lord, as far as it is up to us, our desire is to honor you in the way that we handle your word and to believe wholeheartedly that as we introduce people to you, that you're the one that rescues them. But may we not be those given to anger and misrepresent you. So may we be different than the rest of the world, so that when anger and wrath is brought to them, that, Lord, they respond that way. But may we not be that way. May we be those that give the gentle answer, which opens the door to your word, which brings healing in people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen.